Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you are blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
A long time ago, when we used to say we were going to take up an offering, everybody would clap and shout. Do you remember that? We're going to have an offering today. Yes! What happened to that? I think we need to bring it back. So this is the longest offering message that I've ever given. And hopefully it will sit well with all of you. The Lord has convicted me. Hopefully I can get to the other part. Let's see. Hold on just a minute. Trying to find everything I have. Okay, there it is. Well, first of all, I was going to start out with a story. I'm not really, I tell stories, not often at church, and I like telling stories. I don't think I'm that good at it, and I definitely have trouble with punchlines and jokes, so just take this story and hopefully it will minister to you because, again, I think God's really setting us up today. I mean, the Holy Spirit was just moving in our worship time, and I think we were kind of pulling just kind of a little bit back, and then all of a sudden the Lord said, no, open your hearts. Open your hearts to what I have for you. Let the Holy Spirit move. Let him bring healing in your midst. Always allow him to have his way in the services. You know, let things change if they need to change. And so I was trying to get out of my story also by that. And I couldn't get out of it because he wants me to tell it. So here it is. It's just real simple. You might have heard it before. It's a true story. It's a pastor that he moved down to Houston, Texas. And he started a new church. And he'd only been there 2 or 3 weeks. And this pastor, he said, you know, I'm from home. I'm going to go down to downtown to the city. So I'm going to catch the bus and go down there. And just check out the city, and I'm new to the area. So he gets on the bus, and he heads down to the city, and this pastor, he notices after he pays his toll, he notices that the bus driver gave him 25 cents extra. So he sat down, and he was looking at that and thinking, you know, it's not right. I probably should give this 25 cents back. And he thought just a little bit longer, and then he thought, well, you know, they charge a lot for fares. You know, 25 cents, they're not going to miss it. Yeah, it's a blessing from God. So he just takes the 25 cents. So he thinks he's not going to share anything or let him know. So he gets up. He finally gets to his stop. And he gets up and he gets ready to walk off the bus. And all of a sudden, he feels conviction. And he stops dead in his tracks. And he looks at the bus driver. And he says, hey, he says, you gave me too much change back. Here's 25 cents. And as he looks at the bus driver's got this huge grin on his face. And he kind of looks at him, and the bus driver says, hey, aren't you the new pastor in town? And he goes, yes, I am. He said, well, I want you to know, I've been praying about where God wants me to go worship. And I've been praying if I should come to your church. So I hope you don't mind this. I gave you 25 cents extra to see what you would do with it. And he said, Pastor, I'll see you this Sunday. And so it's a true story. So the guy gets off the bus. He says in the story, he gets off the bus and he walks and he sees a telephone pole and he hugs it. And he starts hugging the telephone pole and he says, Father, I almost gave up your son for 25 cents. Forgive me. And so it's a true story. But the point that I'm making is that our lives are always for the taking. Sometimes people, the only Bible that they may see is through your actions and what you do. And that bus driver, God was speaking to him about going to church. And that bus driver knew that that was the pastor. And if, what would have happened? Just, you can imagine the pastor's heart. And, of course, that was a huge lesson. And when I read that, I got conviction, really strong conviction. Because the other day, I got to my car, and I thought, they didn't charge me for that cat food that's underneath the cart. And the Lord said, you got to take that cat food back, man, and pay for it. I was like, yes, sir. Yes, sir, I'm going to. So I'm just saying that God is always trying to get our attention and trying to get us to make sure that we give properly and that we stand in agreement with what God has for us. I hope that our lives can become more and more of a reflection of who Christ is and that we're real, that we're sold out to him. So I'm going to give you some advice this morning before I even get into the offering message. And it's just a couple things. You can write them down. They'll keep them up on the screen. Going along with that story, watch your thoughts, because your thoughts can become your words. Jesus is very clear about taking every thought captive into the obedience of Christ. And so watch your thoughts. Don't let your thoughts play games with you. Don't let your thoughts take you off on bunny trails. Let your thoughts be focused upon him and what is good, what is pure, what is holy. He's asking that of us because we're headed into a new season, a new time period of life, I believe, in the calendar of the Father. And we want to make sure that we're absolutely saying his will, not our will. So watch your words. They become your actions. Watch your thoughts. They become your words. Watch your words. They become your actions. If you speak something long enough and continually, what will begin to happen is all of a sudden those words that you're speaking will become your actions. That's why it's so amazing to me how so many people will climb up out of a position that the enemy had them in. And because, you know, things start going a little bit better, all of a sudden they allow themselves to kind of crawl back into the place that they were. And it happens little by little. And so we have to be very, very, very careful. Watch our words, they become our actions. Because watch your actions, they become your habits. Does that sound like truth? Think about it. If you begin to act a certain way and do something continuously, next thing you know, it's a habit. And just so you know, so you're not distracted, I am not distracted by this little man right here. I love him. And I love this little guy. And he's up here with me, and I feel comfort. I'm just telling you. Now watch him go pull the drums down or whatever. I don't know. Hopefully not. But watch your actions. They become habits. Watch your habits. They become, and this is the big one, and this is what I was alluding to, they become your character. They become, and just like the bus driver and just like the pastor, they become your character. Your habits become your character. That's just a stance he has. He likes that stance right there. Watch your character, and this is the final one, because your character, what you begin to be and do and act, becomes your destiny. So if your character begins to have actions of sin and living away from God, pretty soon your destiny will not be found in God anymore. You might be saved, you might know him, but your life is going to be so far away from what God has for you. You've learned, you know, take this time that he's taught you so much and then act upon it. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. And I said this earlier, the will of God will never take you to where the grace of God will not protect you. Let me say it again. The will of God will never take you where the grace of God will not protect you. Stay faithful and stay grateful. If you could just learn that this morning, I'm going to stay faithful and I'm going to stay grateful. If you could just grab hold of that, that is going to just shift things in your life, because you're going to stay faithful to him, to his word, to his love. You're going to be grateful each and every day when you get up. Amen? Okay, so that all has to do leading into now. That was phase one. I said, you sure, Lord? Yeah, he said, yeah, go ahead, do it. All right. Especially me, I don't talk a lot about offering. I don't talk a lot about money, and I know the stigma that is attached to many times of giving and what's happened in many different churches. But I want you to be blessed. I want my family to be blessed. And if I don't talk about this and bring this before you, it's robbing you of some blessing. It really is. See, I don't want us to be a community of takers. I want us to be a community of givers, that we really give onto folks, onto the storehouse of God. And so the church matters to me more than any other organization on the planet. Let me say that again, because we really need to hear that in these times. The church means more to me and should mean more to you than any other organization on the planet. Because the church is a, and supposed to be, a supernatural organization. Can I get an amen louder? It's supposed to be a supernatural organization that moves the hearts of people, that stands firm in the midst of shaking. And that's what we're about. And that's what we should be about. The Father's heart, not everyone else's. There is a value to what we're doing as a people here at Voice. There's a value to this mission that we've been on for years and years. And really, overall, we're still a young ministry. But there has been signposts and things God has done in order for us to stay in the place of saying yes to Him. And so I believe that this is a supernatural organization. I'm so thankful for all the fruit that's come out of this ministry and that's happened in this ministry. There's a value to our mission, and I believe that giving to it is justified. Now, I'm going to give you a couple things here that I'm sorry I haven't spoken them sooner, but there's just a few guidelines that I want to lay out before we take this offering. One is that I've come to realize that this vision has a mission, and then I've come to realize that as a leader and other leaders, if I'm not faithful in giving, how is that to ever trickle down to others? I have to be faithful in giving, and I want to stand up here and say that my wife and I, we have been faithful in tithing to this ministry from the very beginning. And I remember how we would tithe and give so much at the beginning because we had the restaurants, and there was just a lot more flow coming in. But I don't want you to forget the widow's mite, and I think sometimes we forget that. It doesn't matter how much you make in a year. It's based on your faithfulness to God and tithing and giving to God. It's in the New Testament just as much as the Old, but we just don't see it many times. So, first of all, we have made a personal commitment that you need to know to tithe and to give continuously into the storehouse. And I urge, the second thing, I urge all the leadership to give and to be faithful in your 10%. And I want to stop by saying this. For a long time, I didn't really look at a lot of what was coming in, but the Lord really brought some conviction that I need to look at what's coming in and coming into the storehouse. And I found Paul doing that, and I found him doing it several times in the New Testament. And so as I begin to look at it and see, I was so amazed by the faithful givers in this small ministry that have just time after time after time have been faithful to keep us moving forward. And I have to really tell you that pretty much 100% of those folks are so blessed because there's a principle about giving. See, we can't be just takers and we can't be just thinking that everything should be given to us. And I'm not just talking about time and energy. Yes, that's true. That's a gift that back to God. But I'm talking about our first fruits in giving. So I want all of our leadership to reflect that. I want our ministry to help in stewardship, not just Dave Ramsey. Dave Ramsey is a great teacher, and he teaches on giving and stewardship and the principle of being blessed by giving. But I want us to be good stewards by encouraging everybody to give so that you would be blessed. Be aware of the giving. Again, I want to encourage you to be givers because I don't want to live or want you to live in a spirit of poverty anymore. And if you have been, I want it broken over you today. That you begin to give faithfully and not live in a spirit of poverty. Living in a spirit of entitlement that I am deserving. You got to give it to me, give it to me. Come on. How about giving and giving and giving? And yes, again, it's with time and energy, but it's also with your first fruits. Givers, not takers, not a spirit of poverty any longer. And so I urge you to commit. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul says, put aside, save, and prosper, and give into the ministry, and give into Jerusalem. It's in 1 Corinthians 16. There's more and more testimonies, and I want to start having testimonies on the screen and bringing people up or blogging things and having people share about when I started giving, this is what's happened. And all I can tell you is it comes from every walk of life. There's people that have many children. There's people that are in business. There's people that are single and that they've been giving and they've been giving and they've been faithful. And again, don't check out with what I'm talking about, because I'm doing this because I want you to be blessed. I want you to, God guides, God provides. He has provided for us and He will keep providing for us. That's not the issue. The issue is about being faithful in your offering and giving, and watch what God does. And you don't do this just for a small amount of time. You do it continuously. We've done it forever. And I got to tell you, there were times in our family that we didn't have it. We didn't have the money, and it was really tight, and we needed to pay things and do this. But the one thing that we did, we were faithful. And we always tithed. We always gave. And God somehow, some way, always showed up and just blessed our socks off. Just continuously. I remember we were going to close on some property, and we were lacking about $3,900, and we needed it desperately. And I went out to the cross at the camp, and I did the Our Father, but I paraphrased it in my own paraphrase. Our Father who art in heaven, I love your name. You know, and I went through the whole thing, and I was asking, I need you right now. And within an hour and a half, someone showed up at my house who is another faithful giver and tither, and sowed into our lives $3,900 that we didn't have so we could close a deal so that we could become debt-free. Isn't that crazy? But that's what He does. That's who He is. If you don't give, if you just take, it's not just your time. It's just not your gift. It's not the things that you do. And yes, the Lord wants you to, the right hand not knowing what the left hand's doing. He wants you to do those type of things. I could bust some people out in here right now in a big way about their giving. But I know it's between them and God, and I've just kind of heard how they've given and given to people, and I'm like, oh my gosh. They would be mad at me. Don't make it public. Anyway, are you still with me? Isn't this the greatest tithe message you've ever heard in your life? No, just kidding. Ooh, that sounded weird. Sounded like someone I don't. Anyway, okay. So I want to continually cast vision about this. And I want us to understand it. And I want us to get it more than ever. I'm committed to having testimonies up here. So get used to it. Of how blessing others bless you. Now, I'm going to show a video. It's a little bit long. First one I'm showing, and then we're going to get into a small time of message. It's a very small time of message, but it's going to hit you between the eyes, which is good. And this video is a friend of mine, and usually this person is always behind the camera, never wants to be in front of it. And so I said, I challenged him to do a video, and you're probably figuring that out. It's Josh Petrillo. And he's been a faithful guy for a long time. So I just want to show the video real quick to bless you. And don't give him a hard time for it. It was real hard for him. Okay? Don't say, hey, you're cheesy. No. Okay, go ahead. Let's play the video. It's so worth it.
So one of the things we were talking about in a meeting yesterday was giving. Why do we give? Why do I give? I guess was more the question. And what I discovered on the journey was that it's cool. A few years ago, I was in a lot of debt and I worked really hard. I followed a budget. I lived so cheap, and I got out of debt by the grace of God, and it was a crazy experience. A lot of awesome things happened while I was getting out of debt. My bills would get paid sometimes, or money would just show up, and it was fun. It was cool. It was like I could see the Lord blessing me as I was working to get out of the bondage that I had actually put myself in. So now I've been debt free since 2008. It was huge for me. It was huge because now I have freedom to be able to give above and beyond the tithe. And I think that's one of the things for me too that I learned in this process was that the tithe is something, not only is it commanded by God, but it's also something that when we do it, everything else gets blessed. And he promises that over and over in his word. Jesus talks about money so much in the Bible. Proverbs talks about money, like 25 verses in Proverbs talk about money and just being wise and not being a slave and like all these just common sense things that talk about money. It's a big topic because Jesus' teachings are about stewardship. And if I give you something small and you take care of it, then I can trust you with something big to take care of, because that's ultimately what he wants us to do. So now I have this awesome privilege to take my paycheck every week and the first 10% comes right off the top, and that goes to Voice, that goes to my church, the place that I worship at, the place that I serve at. That's the first 10% of my check every week. It's like the first thing that I do. I take that out. And then after that, I take another percentage out, and that goes to giving, because I love to give to people. And I never had that freedom before because I had so much bondage in my debt, in my car payments, and in my, you know, credit card bills, and all this stuff. Like Mike Bickle talks about, I can actually be a conduit so that the money comes in, and then it goes out, and then more comes in, and then it goes back out. And it's fun to just be able to bless other people. So giving, tithing, bringing your first fruits every week, it is worth it. It is fun. It's a privilege. We do it because he loves us so much that he gave his son. What an ultimate tithe, the ultimate gift. And we get to do it every time. Give back. And it's worth it. It's worth it. I mean, that's all I can say. It's been an awesome privilege, and it continues to be. And I would just encourage each of you, try it out. And like it says in Malachi 3, test me. See if I will not bless you. See if I will not abundantly bless you so much that you can't even contain it.
Good job, Josh. Come on. I shouldn't have said anything. I should have just played that. Come on up. Why don't you pray for the offering? We're going to take an offering now. Are you guys excited? You want to pray?
Before I pray, I just want to summarize what I just heard. Thank you, Bob. This was really touched my heart. So three things I heard. Give faithfully, our tithes and offerings, and give them continuously. Also, this will break our spirit of poverty, and then we watch what God will do. Amen. Did I do a good job? Amen, amen. Thank you. I just want to ask you, please, to stand up.
This is the first time ever that a principal asked me if he did a good job. That never happened in my life.
I would like to ask you to stand up so we can pray for the offering. Father, we thank you. Thank you this morning for your spirit. Thank you for giving us these directives, Father, that we have to give to your storehouse. After all, Father, in Haggai 2:8, you say that the silver and the gold is mine. So, Father, we're giving you back what you have given us. So I pray this morning for everyone who's giving this morning and everybody who has committed from now on to give faithfully and continuously to this ministry. Bless them, Father. Bless their families. We pray that we will advance your kingdom. You will give us the heart to advance your kingdom through our energy, time, but also our tithes and offering. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Okay, I'm going to blast something at you for about 12 minutes. And then I'm just going to pray and pray blessing and dismiss you. Voice Ministries has been on a spiritual journey for many years, but still, in the history of ministries and the kingdom, we're still very young. God bless you. We've went through a lot, and there's been some great moments, and there's been some struggling times, and there's been times that we've grown in a massive way, and there's been times that we've been small, but yet we've still been steadfast about saying yes to our calling and our destiny. And so I started thinking about it, and the other day, as Josh was talking about in one of the meetings, I started just sharing my heart a little bit about our journey, and I started thinking about, of course, being a football guy, I started thinking about four quarters, and I thought, what was the first quarter for our ministry? And when we started in ministry, there was a place called the Meeting Place, and we began to reach out into this community called Michiana. And when we came here in that first quarter, it was a lot for people to grasp because they didn't see us tied into any church, although we were. They didn't understand most of the people in Elkhart who we were, but we had this kicking worship team that was filled with warfare and praise. And we had a passion to share the gospel. And so we would continually preach the passion to know Jesus at the Meeting Place. And so it was hugely evangelistic. And to this day, those same areas are a part of who we are. We have people in the ministry right now that are beginning to go out on the streets and minister more. And we're wanting to put together teams that can begin to share the gospel throughout this region. So the Meeting Place was always about a passion to know Him, to serve Him, to obey Him and proclaim Him. It was a call to people because they needed to come into a place where they could get a cool drink of water because the spirit of religion had really done a job on most people. And so they would come into that place midweek on a Tuesday night and be refreshed. We saw many souls saved and we saw many people, pastors coming in. We've seen all kinds of diversity. Sometimes 32, 42 different churches would be there on a Tuesday night. I'm not going to forget that because that's part of our inheritance. It's part of our heritage. It's part of our journey. And it hasn't left. So if you think it's left, I beg to differ with you. God is going to use every quarter and maximize it into this fourth quarter that we're headed into. And so that was kind of the first quarter. Matter of fact, that's where I met David Raymer, was at the Meeting Place at the Lerner Theater as we were there for 2 years doing the Meeting Place in the middle of the city and crying out for the region and the city. And in the second quarter, after the evangelism and the passion to know Him and being a cool drink of water for people, the second quarter kind of shifted as we began to get these tools in our tool belt regarding healing. And so the whole second quarter was about really getting equipped and being established. And that's never going to leave us because it's part of our mission and who we are. And so there was a ministry out there, and some of you, you know, may know it, may not, but it was called Theophostic, God's Light. And so I didn't believe in it at first. And then when I saw the fruit of it and experienced it, I began to believe that God was really using this tool. And so we brought this tool into the area. We really did. And we were forerunners because it had just started down in Campbellsville, Kentucky. And it was only about 6 months to a year old. Many people said it was guided imagery and they began to attack it because they didn't think it was, they thought it was New Age. Stay with me. Stay with me here. And so we got that tool in our belt only to get more tools of healing and more direction. Londa and Chris Harwell began to pick up that mantle and start moving in that area. Many of you are on the healing team and have moved in that area. You've seen God work. And so we were evangelistic. We were crying out a passion to know Jesus, a call to intimacy, a cry to know Him. Because we knew that if you didn't know Him in an intimate way, forget all the church going. Forget all the teaching. Really. Because it's just head knowledge. Remember what I said earlier when I was praying, because I want to get to that if we think we can do this, what God wants to do in Michiana, that we're going to make it happen, it turns into religion. But if we say, not our will, but your will be done, and only by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by might, not by power, but by His Spirit, then we can have a movement of God to happen in our families and in a whole region. Are you with that? Do you understand that? That's what God's asking of us, to know that He desires to set an ignition in this region. He's already done it through different people. But that healing tool can never leave us. Because if there's anything I can say about my journey in the church, is the need for renewal of the mind. Because so many Christians are saved, but then they put dirt back into their minds and their thoughts. And they don't allow their minds to get renewed so that they can walk in the destiny that God has for them. So healing is never going to leave Voice Ministries. We're going to always be, matter of fact, we're going to increase in the area of counseling. We're going to increase in the area of passion to get out on the streets and proclaim the gospel to more. We're going to increase in that area, even on Tuesday night. It's going to increase. It's not going to decrease. Now, the third area, and I could stay on that area for a long time. I had a lot of notes about that, but I'll try not to go way off into it. But the third area was God began to open our eyes to the house of the Lord, the house of prayer. And what it means to have a worshiping sanctuary in your midst where people are praying and ministering to God day and night. And so in this third quarter of our journey, we can't leave behind something that God has put right in front of us. Our desire in this ministry and the calling that we have, one of them along with the other two, the calling is to establish a worshiping sanctuary where God's presence is hovering in our midst, because we desire to worship Him, to pray, to continually cry out. And I could stand here and tell you all kinds of things that's happened even in the last 2 weeks in the house of prayer, where two young men were ministering. They were ministering in the mall and sharing the gospel. And they ended up coming into the house of prayer, and two pastors ministered to them and prayed over them. And the one young man said, I've never really experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And they prayed over him, and the man received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and started speaking in tongues and went out even more with more fire to minister. That just happened. I could go off on another thing that just happened with children in here ministering and people being ministered to just here recently. And so God's called us to that. We can't move back away from it. No, a worshiping sanctuary is necessary. It's not a place of boredom. That's your will. His will is a place of encounter. And that's what the house of prayer is. We say yes and keep doing it, and singers and musicians and people interceding. And people who have stood fast and stood with the call. I mean, I'm amazed at the Monday night team and Todd Weiss and them. How they stood year after year on Monday night giving praise and worship unto the Lord. It's amazing. But that's not to be taken for granted. God's really shifting us to be a team and not leave people out in the desert and the wilderness, but to bring them in, begin to set our hearts before God and let the fire of God have His way. So that was kind of the third quarter that I feel like we're in right now, what God is doing. And we've got to be faithful to that, and we've got to be grateful for it. And I got to tell you that there's nothing greater than to be able to sow in some finances to some young people where they can minister before the Lord. Young, old, it doesn't matter. Now, the last thing that I want to share with you, going into this last fourth quarter, I believe that this is what's happening. I believe, and you saw my little video about fire, I believe that our human experience positions us all to make a choice. We are all positioned in this room right now to make a choice. And that choice is going to be absolutely wholeheartedly your will or His will. And God wants us to say His will. I want to live in His will. And there's a reason for that. Because we need to trust in this next season. We can't think that we're going to get it done. Because again, if you start thinking that way, with all that positive thinking, some of it's good. But if you keep thinking that way, guess what? You're going to end up being religious. You're going to end up being sad. You're going to be grumpy. You're going to end up in a bad way because you can't do it without the power of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God. You just can't. And I don't want us to get into that religious flow. I want to see the breakthrough anointing of God begin to break the bondage over people's lives because they encounter Him. And we're saying, let the Holy Spirit have its way. But if God's going to do it, if God's going to do it and we allow His Spirit, guess what He's called us to? Righteousness. And what we build will be built in righteousness. He's called us to righteousness by the Holy Spirit and by what Jesus did on our behalf. And so going forth in this next season, we got to live in the place of righteousness only by Him. He has called us to be righteous, and He has called us righteous. That's who we are. That's our identity, walking in the fullness of God. I won't have time to go through this, but in the first few Hebrew words, I have a study on this. A friend of mine just breathed this into me. The first few Hebrew words in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, one of the words is Brashith. And right at the beginning of Genesis 1, and that word represents certain things. That word Brashith in the Hebrew means God the Father. He's our Father. We're His family. It represents God's house. It's His house that we want to represent and walk and see happen. It represents the same Hebrew word represents His will, not our will. This same Hebrew word in the beginning of Genesis represents His inheritance. And it's the inheritance of His unmeasurable love for His children because He's our Father. He wants us in His house, and He wants us walking in His will. That's what the whole covenant, the Ark of the Covenant, is about a covenant relationship. This is a picture of His children. You and I were created carefully, and we were created for greatness in Him. But He gave us a choice. Now listen to this, and I'll close with this. This next word in Hebrew is Eloshim, which means fire. Which means fire. And the reason that I went to that, because I showed you that video about the fire of the Holy Spirit igniting our lives quickly, just in a moment when the oxygen of the Holy Spirit can have its way, if we let it. So that word means fire. It means two different types. The fire that refines and the fire that destroys. In this next season, are we going to allow the fire of the Holy Spirit to refine us? Or are we going to have the fire that destroys us? And that fire that destroys us is the fire of sin. It destroys us. It chooses, it moves us to not do His will any longer, but to do our own will because we're lost in sin. So I want you, I want me, I want our families to be ready. Be encouraged. Right? Jonathan, come on up. Be encouraged. Betsy's like, stop it, Bob. Be encouraged. Can you say this with me? He that began a good work in you. Come on, say it. He that began a good work in me will complete it. He's going to do it. You believe it? That's where we're at. This is not a sprint. It's a long marathon. But it can be exciting when we get underneath the Father's umbrella of all that He is. His will. I'll finish with Isaiah 42, verses 5 through 13. This will validate. This is my, I would call my small little blueprint of the fourth season, the fourth quarter that we're entering into. And I'll close with this and pray for you guys. This is a prophetic book, the biggest prophetic book in the Bible, especially in the Old Testament, except Revelation. And the prophet Isaiah says, verse 5, thus says God the Lord, who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and its offspring, who gives breath to the people on it, And here it is. And Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to those who walk in it, do you want to walk in it? He's given it. He'll breathe it. He'll do it. And then verse 6 says, he says, I am the Lord. I've called you in what? Righteousness. This next season is about being called into righteousness and walking in it. I will also hold, I love this one, hold you by the hand. I'm going to hold you in the hand, by the hand, in the midst of all the shaking, everything going on, doesn't matter, all the loss, all the gain, and I'm going to watch over you. You can trust that word. And then he says, and I will appoint you as a covenant people. We're one new man. Some people say this is only for the Jews. No, it's for the body. It's for the saints. To the people as a light to all the nations. And we will be. And then I love Isaiah 61. I think I have to go there too. Verse 7, to open up blind eyes. That's what he's called us to. To open up blind eyes, to bring out prisoners from the dungeon and those who dwell in darkness from the prison. Then he says, verse 8, I am the Lord. This is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to a graven image. And this is part of our time segment, I think our window right now, where he's saying, behold, the former things have come to pass. Now I declare new things to you. And he says, before they spring forth, I'm going to let you in on it. I'm going to let you know. I proclaim them to you, children, in my house, in the covenant, the righteous ones, by the blood of the Lamb that's living in the Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to have its way. I'm going to proclaim them to you. And guess what I'm going to do? Verse 10. I'm going to open up a global worship and prayer movement before I return, and it's going to happen all over the earth. And he says, verse 10, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing his praise from the ends of the earth. You who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and those who dwell on them, let the wilderness and its cities lift up their voices, the settlements where Kedar inhabits. Let the inhabitants of Selah sing aloud, mountain people. He said, let them shout for joy from the tops of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise even in the coastlands. So God is going to raise up a song all over the earth. And we're going to participate that as worshipers that go out in the community and worship, that worship on Sunday and Tuesday, that worship in the house of prayer. It's not us and them. It's all of us together doing it unto him. And then verse 13 is a key verse. And it's the return of our King, Jesus. Verse 13, Jesus will go forth like a warrior, not a baby. Like a warrior. He will arouse his zeal like a man of war. And he will utter a shout, yes. He will raise a war cry. And he will prevail against the enemies. And if you read on in that chapter, he says, I've kept silent for a long time. I have kept still and restrained myself. Now like a woman in labor, I will groan. I will both gasp and pant. I will lay waste to the mountains. He's going to stand up and he's done with the evil that's exalted itself on the earth. This is the season that we're headed into. Isaiah 61. This is our mission. You've heard our vision statement, but this is our mission. Because it's the mission to every man and woman of God. Jesus quotes this in Matthew 11:5. And this is what he said, and this is who we are. And if we want his will, then this has to be happening within our lives. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit is upon you. Because the Lord has anointed us to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent us to bind up the brokenhearted. He sent us to proclaim liberty to the captives and freedom to the prisoners. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God. To comfort all who mourn. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise instead of the spirit of fainting. So they will be called oaks of righteousness. We're called to be righteous. When it's by his Spirit, it's not religious. It becomes righteousness. The planting of the Lord that he may be glorified. And then he will rebuild the ancient ruins They will raise up the former devastations, and they will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Why don't you stand? Not our will, but His will. That's what this is about. It's about His righteousness. Oh, wretched man that I am. Without Jesus, I am wretched. Without the grace of God, nothing. So I'm just going to pray, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will challenge you in this message, in this fourth quarter season. Third, fourth, might go on for a while, for a long time. But we're standing for something, and there's a value to this mission and who we are. And we fought through some hard things to get to this place. And we're going to keep standing and keep moving forward. If you're a guest, I don't apologize for the message. I should say it every week. There's a blessing when we give. Be a giver and not a taker. Don't be one who lives in entitlement. You say, man, but right now I have a big need. God will move on your need. He'll help you. But as soon as you begin to be blessed and walk, you start giving back. Start giving back. Let's pray. Jesus, first and foremost, we thank you for what you did at the cross. We thank you that you made a way where there was no way. Jesus, you said to the Father, Father, make them one as you and I are one. And then you said to us that in the same way that the Father loves you, you love us. God, I ask that your love would overwhelm us. I ask that when we travel, that you would give us traveling mercies as some of our folks move about the nation. That you would watch over us. That we would move forward in our destiny and our purpose because we see a bigger purpose in you. We ask, God, that you would strengthen us by your Spirit. That your Spirit would help us to keep vision. We ask, God, that you would draw men and women, young and old, to establish this sanctuary in this hour. A burning sanctuary of your presence. Lord, let the cry go out. Let the call go out. Let the charge go out to us all. That we would be able to be that house of prayer. That we would be that counseling refuge. That we would be that place of continual warfare worship going on and the message of Jesus being preached, the passion to know Him. As you prepare us for a great song that's going to happen all over the earth. So today, shift that bigger purpose of your heart into our heart. Today, shift it into our heart. And may your word become the lamp onto every step that we make. We thank you for this time of worship. We thank you for this time of healing. We thank you for this time of giving. We thank you for this time of your word. And we thank you, Lord, that we will not perish without vision because you are the one who gives fresh vision and gives direction. And we say yes to you. Yes to your will. Because you've called us to be oaks of righteousness, firmly planted, with deep roots in faith, hope, and love. We thank you, God, for this day. And may we now be a conduit of blessing as we go out into the streets, as we go out into the mission field, as we go out into our homes, as we begin to trust you more and more this day and not shrink back into darkness, but to move forward in your light. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Go in peace and have a wonderful day.